For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's February the 7th, Melachim Beis. We're in Perek Tesvav, chapter 15, and we're going to start from Pasuk Ches, verse 8. As we just discussed, the reign of Uzziyahu, also known as Azariah, and how now his son Yosam takes over for Uzziyahu. Now, we already mentioned Yosam back in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, where it says, Yosam ben Hamelech al Habayis shofetes am haaretz. Yosam was in charge of the palace, and he was judging the Am Haaretz, he was judging the people of the land, while his father, Uzziyahu, had Tzaras. And Uzziyahu, as we know, had Tzaras for the last 25 years of his life, of his reign. And during that time, Yosam runs the country, essentially. He, as we're about to see, we're not about to see just yet, but Yosam is born during that time, and his mother, as we had before with Uzziyahu as well, that he began his reign really during the time of his father Amatziah, so too Yosam will begin. He's not really king yet, but he's helping to run the country while his father is still alive. But now we're going to move to the Malchei Yisrael, because since Uzziyahu was king for 52 years, and the way that Malachim works is it toggles back and forth between the kings of Yisrael and the kings of Yehuda, and then as long as one king is still on the throne, while in the other kingdom there's a constant turnover, so we go through all that turnover before we switch back. So in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Bishnas Shloshim Ushmona Shana LaAzariyahu Melech Yehuda, in the 38th year of Azariyahu, which is Uzziyahu, Malach Zechariyahu Ben Yaravam Al Yisrael B'Shomron Shisha Chadashim. So this is confusing, because you have Zechariyahu, the son of Yaravam, who now becomes king in Shomron for 6 months. As we've said before, Yeravam here is not the famous Yeravam ben Nevat, or the infamous Yeravam ben Nevat. Rather, it's Yeravam ben Yoash, who is from the line of Yehu ben Nimshi. And now, Zechariyahu becomes king for 6 months. He's the fourth in succession of the line of Yehu ben Nimshi. And he'll be the final one in this line of Yehu ben Nimshi, as we'll see that the Navi will speak about this. Now, it says it was in the 38th year of Azariyahu, which is a little confusing. To go through the years right now I don't want to get bogged down in the years, but this is counting some of the years that Uzziyahu was king during his father's reign, during Amatziahu's reign. It's not 38 years from... So how should we explain this? Because Uzziyahu, who rules for 52 years, he also ruled, as we learned before, for 15 years while his father Amatziahu was had run away, had gone into Golus. So let's see if I can find the pasuk here. Right, he was 16 years. Uzziyahu was 16 years when he became king, but before that, for 15 years, his father was in Golus. Now, obviously, he didn't start helping his father when he was a year old. We said his mother was really the one running the country. But as he was born and then he started to grow up, as he got old enough to be impactful, so then he was helping out with the country as well. So he began his he was born at the same time as Yeravam became the king over Yisrael, so Yeravam was also ruling the country 3 years while his father was sick. You'll recall that Yoash became very sick, and therefore Yeravam was running the country for him for 3 years before he then took over, and he ruled for 41 years, of which those 38 years later is when he dies, 38 years after Uzziyahu took over for his father. So this is really, if you really want to count it, it's really the, how does it work out? It's really the 20, I'm just going to try to get the year straight over here. I think it's the 23rd year of Uzziyahu, the real 23rd year. Yeah. Okay, be that as it may. It's the 27th year. It's the 27th year of Uzziyahu. That's when it actually happens. It says the 38th year, but it's really the 27th year. The reason why it's the 27th year is because the 38th year, you have to add 3 years that he was king prior. All right, you know what? We're going in circles over here. Let's just stop right here while I'm ahead, or while I'm way behind, I get further behind. But at any rate, this is it's really earlier in Uzziyahu's reign. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because we're going to have a lot of kings that are now going to be the kings over Yisrael while Uzziyahu reigns. Now, Uzziyahu reigns for 52 years. So if this is only the 27th year of his reign, we have another 25 years to go during his reign, even though he has Tsaras during that time. But we have several kings of Yisrael that we're going to cover at this time. So Zechariyahu ben Yeravam becomes king over the Malchus Yisrael. Vayas harabeinei Hashem. Pasuk Tes, he does evil in the eyes of Hashem. Kasher asu avosav, like his ancestors, most of the kings of Yisrael were evil. Lo sarmei chatos Yeravam ben Nevat, he did not go away from the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat, asher hechetes Yisrael, that he caused the Jews to sin. Vayikshor alav Shalum ben Yavesh, so Shalum ben Yavesh rebelled against him, or attacked him. Vayakehu, and he struck him down, Kaval Am, in front of the nation. Vayim Yisrael, and he killed him. Vayimloch Tachtav, and he ruled in his stead. So we have a new person, it's really a new dynasty, taking the throne. V'yeser Divrei Zechariah, the rest of what happened with Zechariah, Hinam Ksuvim Al Sefer Divrei Yom Malchei Yisrael, they are written in the Chronicles of Malchei Yisrael. Hu Divar Hashem Asher Dibra Al Yehu Leimor, this is the word of Hashem that he spoke to Yehu, saying, B'nei Rivi'im Yesh V'lachal Kisei Yisrael, that you will have four generations sitting on the throne of Yisrael. V'yehichin, and it was so, it would not have happened had he not had that nevuah, because they didn't really deserve it. They were sinners, and therefore it should not have been, but because Yehu had had that nevuah, therefore the nevuah was told to him, therefore the generations worked that way. And therefore, all the way, even though the last one's only 6 months long, but he does have four generations sitting on the throne. Now Shalum ben Yavesh kills him and takes over. Yud Gimel 13, Shalum and Yavesh Malach Bishnas Shloshim Esesha Shana Uzziyah Melech Yehuda. He rules in the 39th year of Uzziyahu. Vayimloch Yerach Yamim Bishomron. So he gets the prize for the shortest reign. He rules for 1 month in Shomron. Vayal Menachem Ben Gadi Mitirtsa. Menachem Ben Gadi comes up from Tirtsa. Vayavo Shomron. Vayaches Shalum ben Yavesh b'Shomron, he strikes Shalum ben Yavesh in Shomron. Vayimiseu, and he kills him. Vayimloch Tachtav, and he rules in his stead. V'yeser divrei Shalum v'kishor asher kashor, the rest of what happened with Shalum and his rebellion, that he rebelled against Zechariyahu. Hinam ksuvim al sefer divrei Yom Malchei Yisrael, they're written in the Chronicles of the Malchei Yisrael. A very important Gemara in Maseches Gittin, which I've mentioned to you before, tells us that the northern kingdom, Yisrael, was not taken into Galus until there were seven separate dynasties of kings that worshipped Avodah Zarah. Seven. The first, of course, was Yeravam ben Nevat. The second was Basha. The third was Achav. The fourth was Yehu. So the question is, now we have Shalum ben Yavesh, and then we have Menachem ben Gadi. So what are we up to now? What number are we up to? So we are only up to number five, because Shalum ben Yavesh is not counted. Because since he only ruled for a month, he's not considered to be a dynasty. Even though he did take over, but he was deposed so quickly, he's not counted. If you recall, we had another king like that ruled for a very, very short time over Yisrael. Between the dynasties of Basha and Achav, there was a very short, in the unrest that followed in trying to who would take over the kingdom, we had a little bit of a struggle there, and there was another person who had the throne for a very short time. He was not counted either. So it's seven actual dynasties. So Menachem ben Gadi is the fifth of the seven dynasties. Now, when I say dynasty, his son is not going to take over for him, but he does rule for enough time that his kingdom is considered to be a separate one of those seven. So, Pasuk Tez Zayin, verse 16, I'm going to warn you up front that in this Pasuk you will immediately not like Menachem ben Gadi. It is for good reason. He was not a good person. But I'm just warning you that it's what we're going to read is not very pleasant. So, Az Yakem Menachem is Tifsach. So Menachem struck Tifsach. He destroyed the city, or he didn't destroy the entire city, but he sacked the city. Vaskol Sherba, and all that was in it. Vaskvuleha, and it's all boundaries. Mi Tirtza, from Tirtza. Kilo Fasach Vayach, because it didn't open for him, so he struck it down. Meaning that because the city of Tifsach did not welcome in the new conqueror, Menachem ben Gadi, so therefore he defeated the city and did terrible things in the city. One of the things he did, Eis Kol Haroseha Bikea, that he struck all of the pregnant women, meaning he caused all the pregnant women to miscarry. He took all the pregnant women in the city and he caused them to miscarry. This was an example he was making of them, and the message was, they didn't open the city for me, so I will prematurely cause the womb to open of these women. And he caused them all to miscarry. So as I said, not a very pleasant person and not a very pleasant thing to have done. Pasuk Zayin, verse 17. Bishnas Shloshim Vaseisha Shana Azariah Melech Yehuda. So the 39th year of Azariah of Uziel, the king of Yehuda. Malach Menachem ben Gadi al Yisrael. Menachem ben Gadi became king over Yisrael. Esther Shanim Bishomron for 10 years. Vayas Hara Beni Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo Some al Chatos Yeravim ben Avot Asher Hechid Yisrael Kol Yamav. He did not go away from the sins of Yeravim ben Avot that he caused the Jews to sin all his days. So we now have the first mention of a king of Ashur. Now, we are in the death throes of the northern kingdom. Even though we're only in the fifth of the seven dynasties, but they're going to go relatively quickly. And we are hurtling towards the galus of the Aseres HaShvatim, of the 10 tribes being taken into galus. Remember, the northern kingdom has 10 tribes. The southern kingdom has Yehuda and Binyamin. Levi is not counted as one of the 12. Levi was scattered both amongst the northern and southern, so that's why today we have representatives of Levi, that would be Kohanim and Levim. Most of us are either from Yehuda or from Binyamin, even though there is representation from all the Shvatim, but very minimal representation from most Shvatim, except for Yehuda, Binyamin, and of course Levi. The 10 tribes are taken into Galus, we'll see, it's coming up. We're not going to get to it tonight, but it's coming, we're hurtling towards it. The king of Ashur, Sanherib, the king of Ashur, is the one who's eventually going to take the 10 tribes into Galus. It's not going to be all at once, it will be in stages, but it's going to be from the king of Ashur. Here we have the first mention of the king of Ashur in our story, in this Pasuk Yutes, verse 19. Here it's going to be where he's an aggressor. We'll see later that he's actually going to be invited into the country at some point later on as well. But Ashur is going to be, just to emphasize to you, until now, the main threat to the Jewish people has been the country of Aram. Aram was the one that Eliyahu HaNavi was told is going to be one that's going to cause trouble for the Jewish people. And Elisha cried when he anointed the king over there. So there was Aram has been the danger. But Ashur is now rising in power. Aram is still very powerful, as we'll see. We're not done with Aram yet. But Ashur is rising in power. Ashur is Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyria. And Nineveh, of Yonah fame, is in Ashur. It's the capital of Ashur. Aram is in the general area. We're talking about an area to the east and north of Eretz Yisrael. That's the area we're talking about. Not where Syria is today, but further east. And we have Aram, we have Ashur that are involved in attacking Eretz Yisrael. So here we have, in Pasuk Yotes, verse 19, Ba Pul Melech Ashur al Haaretz. So Pul, the king of Ashur, came against the land, and he's going to attack. And apparently he had a big enough and strong enough army that Menachem ben Gadi was scared of him. Excuse me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra.
Amen.
So, Vayite Menachem lePul, Elef Kikar Kasef. He gave him an exorbitant ransom of 100 kikar of silver, lios yadav itos, that his hands would be with him, lahachzik hamamlacha biyado, to strengthen the kingdom in his hands. Menachem ben Gadi never had a very strong control over the country, even though he made this terrible example out of Tifsach, but he always had his enemies, and he needed help. So when Pul came against him, he bribed Pul that he should prop him up and help out Menachem ben Gadi. Vayotze Menachem es hakesef. Now, how did Menachem get the money? It's a lot of money. So what did he do? Vayotze Menachem es hakesef al Yisrael. Menachem put the money out on the Jewish people, which means he collected it from the Jewish people. Al kol gibori achayel, on all of the strong ones of the army, all the army, loses lamelech Ashur chamishim shkalim kesef li yishachad. That each soldier should give to the king of Ashur 50 shkalim of kesef per man. Now, what do you think the soldier then did? He extorted it from the people. Right? And so he just created a system where all the armed people, the soldiers, went around attacking all the civilians and forcing them to give them money. And then they passed that money on to Pul. So imagine what the country was like. Nobody trusted anybody. It was just a wild situation with everybody extorting money from everybody else. So the king of Ashur returned, did not stay there in the land. He got bought off by this money, and he promptly left the land. The rest of the words of Menachem, all that he did, they're written in the Chronicles of the Kings of Yisrael. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. His son does rule, but not for a long time. Menachem actually died. He wasn't killed, he died. So Pekachya, his son, rules in his stead. Bishnas Chamishim Shana LaAzariah Melech Yehuda. So in the 50th year of Uziyahu, Malach Pekachya ben Menachem al Yisrael b'Shamron Shana Sayim. Pekachya becomes king in Shamron for only 2 years. Vayas Hara ben Hashem. He does the evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sar mechatos Yeravam ben Avot Hashem Hakat his Yisrael. He does not go away from the sins of Yeravam. Vayik Shalav Pekach ben Rimal Yahu Shalisho. So he has a rebellion on his hands. Pekach ben Rimal Yahu, who is his shalish. A shalish is an attendant, one of the prime attendants of the king of, I can't remember his name here, of Pekachya. Of course, Pekach and Pekachya, right? Very similar, right? We have that again. He rebelled against him. Vayakehu v'shomron, and he struck him down in Shomron. Be'armon beis hamelech, in the palace of the king. Es argov v'es ha'aryeh, the argov and the aryeh. There is a debate of what argov and aryeh mean. Some say that argov and aryeh were two other prominent members of Pekachya's cabinet, and they joined Pekach ben Remaliahu in this rebellion. Others say that Argov means the palace courtyard, and Aryeh was a prominent lion statue. Not Avodah Zarah, but I don't think Avodah Zarah. But just this what's that?
Like a decoration.
Yeah, kind of thing. Right, and it was just well known. Right. V'imo chamishim ish mimnei Giladim, and with him were 50 men from the Giladim, from Gilad. V'im Yiseu, they killed him. V'im loch tachtav, and Pekach ben Remaliahu takes over. So Menachem ben Gadi and his son were the 5th dynasty, and now, very quickly, only 12 years later, we are now in the 6th dynasty, which is that of Pekach ben Remaliahu. It is inescapable to notice the word Ramla in Remaliahu. I don't know if there's a connection or not, but I imagine that there is. V'yaser divrei Pekachya v'chol asher asah, and the rest of the words of Pekach and all that he did, hinam ksuvim al sefer divrayam lach Yisrael, they're written in the Chronicles of Yisrael. I mean, I know they call it Ramallah, but I wonder, there must be some, this is too close to ignore that. Chav 9:27. The 52nd year of Uziyahu, Malach Pekach ben Remaliah Yisro b'Shomron 20 shana. So Pekach ben Remaliah rules for 20 years. Vayas, this is going to come as a shock. He did hara b'nei Hashem, the evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sar minchatos Yerav men Avad Asher Echdis Yisrael. He did not go away from the sins of Yeravim that he made the Jews sin. Now we come back to Ashur. Bimei Pekach Melech Yisrael, in the days of Pekach, the king of Yisrael, Ba Tiglas Pileser Melech Ashur. Tiglas Pileser, the king of Ashur, comes. Now before it was Pul, now it's Tiglas Pileser. Vayikach Es Ion Ves Ovel Beis Macha Ves Yonoach Ves Kenesh Ves Chatzor Ves Hagilor Ves Hagolila Kol Eretz Naphtali, all these places. He takes all these places, Vayaglaim Ashura, and he takes them into Golas to Ashur. So he begins the chipping away of the 10 tribes. All these places, which are to the north and east of Eretz Yisrael, the northernmost and easternmost areas of Eretz Yisrael, he takes them to Golas, to Ashur. So now, I'm just going to tell you, to warn you about this. Sancheirev, who we haven't mentioned yet, has several names. Now, even though we've mentioned Pul, we mentioned Tiglas Pileser, but Sancheirev has several names. So we're ready to speak about Sancheirev. We're not up to him quite yet, but as we will see, Tiglas Pileser and Sancheirev really are the same person. And we'll see about which other names are also him. But we'll get to that, Mirtz Hashem, when we get to Sancheirev, not tonight. Vayikshar Kesher Hoshea ben Ela Pekach ben Remalia. So Hoshea ben Ela, who's going to be the last of the kings of the Aseres HaShvatim, Ten Shvatim, he rebels against Pekach ben Remalia. He's going to be the seventh dynasty. Vayakehu, he struck him down. Vayimisehu killed him. Vayimloch Tachtav, he ruled in his stead. Bishnas Esrim liYosam ben Uzziah, on the 20th year of Yosam, the son of Uzziah, because Uzziah now has already died, and Yosam is the king. V'yaser divrei Pekach v'chol asher asa, the rest of Pekach and what he did. Hinem k'suvim al sefer divrei yom malchei Yisrael. They are written in the Chronicles of Yisrael. Now, even though we've rushed through these kings of Yisrael, but we now have the king of Yehuda to go back to, which is Yosam. See, we went through all those kings successively in Yisrael because they were all during the reign of Uzziah. But now we're moved into Yosam, the son of Uzziah. So we are now going to talk about Yosam. Now, Yosam only rules for 16 years. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, doesn't make sense. In the 20th year of Yosam ben Uzziah. That's very difficult. So, the reason why, the Gemara says, the reason why it says that is really because he actually rules that Hoshea ben Ela actually killed Pekach ben Remaliahu in the fourth year of Yosam's son Achaz. But, as we will see later, Yosam's son Achaz is a Rasha, one of the rare Yehuda kings who was a Rasha. Well, we've had tzaddik after tzaddik after tzaddik, but unfortunately after Yosam, his son Achaz is a Rasha. Therefore, the Navi would rather attribute the years to Yosam, to Yosam in the grave, rather than to Achaz alive. So it calls it the 20th year of Yosam, when it's actually the fourth year of Achaz, because Yosam only ruled for 16 years. Just the level of thing. Now, we're going to talk about Yosam. I want to read till the end of the parak. I know we've been rushing through over here. We will discuss some of what we talked about till now. But I want to tell you that after researching Yosam a little bit, and after you hear what we're going to say about Yosam, it is surprising to me that we do not name children Yosam. Because Yosam was the real deal. He is a tremendous tzaddik, and the Navi will have almost nothing negative to say about him. Almost nothing. Almost everything is positive about Yosam. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, verse 33. Ben Esrim v'chamesh shana hayah b'malcho. Yosam was 25 years old when he became king, which means he was born when his father Uzziahu got saras. We'll talk about that. V'sheish esrei shana malach b'Yerushalayim, he ruled for 16 years. V'sheim imo Yerusha bas Tzadok, his mother's name was Yerusha bas Tzadok. She was a tzadekes. She ran the country while her husband had saras, but also then helped bring Yosam into the running of the country, similar to what Uzziah's mother did when Amatziah was out of commission. Vayas ha-yashar b'nei Hashem, Yosam does what is straight in the eyes of Hashem. Kechol asher asa Uzziah aviv asa, all that Uzziah did, his father did, he did. But as in Divrei Yomim it says, except for going into the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't do that. He didn't do what Uzziah did wrong. Rak abamas lo saru, only the private altars were not removed, or didn't go away. Od ha'am mezabchim u'mekatrim b'abamos, the nation was still bringing karbanos and incense on, or burning things on the bamos. Hu banas shar beis Hashem ha'elyon, he, Yosam, built the upper gate of the house of Hashem, meaning of the Beis HaMikdash. Here we don't get much else. V'yeser divrei Yosam v'chol asher asa, halohayim k'suvim al sefer divrei Yom Malach Yehuda, the rest of what Yosam did, all that the rest of what happened to Yosam, all that he did, they are written in the Chronicles of the Kings of Yehuda. Bayamim ha'heim, heichel Hashem l'ashliach b'Yehuda ritzin melech Aram feis Pekach ben Remaliahu. In those days, Hashem began to send against Yehuda Ritzin, the king of Aram, so we still have Aram against us, and Pekach ben Remaliahu, who was the king of Yisrael. So we have to understand that. If Yosam was such a tzaddik, why is that happening? Vayishkav Yosam im Avosav. Yosef dies. Vayikaver im Avosav bir David Aviv. He is buried with his ancestors in the city of David, his father. Vaymoch Achaz beno Tachtav, and Achaz his son ruled in his stead. I want to draw your attention to the word Aviv. He was buried with his ancestors, Be'ir David Aviv. That we don't usually have. Until now, it's always been Be'ir David, in the city of David. Here it's Be'ir David Aviv. What would you say that would imply?
He followed the ways of David.
He deserves that you refer to David as his father. Because a father means that you identify with that person. And Yosam identified with David. He is identifiable with David. But you see something strange, that even though he is identifiable with David, yet Hashem starts to send against Yehuda Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliahu. Now, Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliahu are not going to cause big trouble in the years of Yosam, but they will cause major trouble in the years of Achaz, his son. Now, Achaz is a Rasha, as we'll see, not tonight, but next time, so that makes sense. But we have to understand, why is there already this sending against Yehuda of Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliahu? Now, let me fill in a little bit of detail from Divrei Hayamim, and then we'll discuss a few things over here. In Divrei Hayamim, Beis, in Chav Zayin, in 27, that's where it discusses, towards the end of 27, that's where it discusses Yosam. It doesn't discuss here the Malchei Yisrael. So about Yosam, it says the same thing, that he was 25 years old when he became king. He ruled for 16 years. He did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. I'm going to fill in some of the good things that happened in his time. Besides building the upper gate of the Beis HaMikdash, it says he built other fortifications. It says in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, "V'chomas ha'ofel bana larov." He built a lot of fortifications for the Beis HaMikdash, for Yerushalayim. It says in Dalet 4, "V'arim bana b'har Yehuda." He built cities in the Har Yehuda. "U'becharashim bana b'ranios u'migdalim." He built big towers, again, for protective purposes. He fought with the king of Bnei Amon. He was strong against them. They gave him 100 kikar kesef. Does that sound familiar? 100 talents of silver? That was the amount that Menachem ben Gadi paid off Pul, the king of Ashur. Well, that's the amount that the king of Amon paid to Yosam. Vaseres alafim korim chitim, plus 10,000 kor of wheat. Usorim, aseres alafim, and 10,000 kor of barley. Zos he shivulo bnei Amon uvashana shenis vashlishis. That's what the people of Bnei Amon gave him, and also in the second year and in the third year. There was an enormous ransom they were paying him, not only in money, but in food to Yosam. Yosam was strong. Why? Because he set his ways in front of Hashem as God. Yosam was a tzaddik, and Hashem made sure that he was successful because of that. Now, it does not say over here what happened with the Ritzin and Pekach ben Remaliahu coming against Yehuda. It does not say that over here in Divrei Hayamim. I want to read to you from Rashi and Divrei Hayamim. Let me give you the background first. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah on Daf Memhem Beis 45b in Sukkah says that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, I can exonerate all of the Jewish people from their sins from the day I was born until the day I die, until today, until the day he's talking. Meaning because of my merit, I can get the Jews forgiveness for all their sins from the day I was born until today. If my son Elazar is with me, who is also a great tzaddik, the two of them were the ones in the cave, then we can pater, we can take care of all the sins from the day the world was created until today. And if Yosam ben Uziyahu was with us, we can take care of the whole thing till the end of time. That's what he says. Now what that means, how that works, he's only saying if, right? Apparently it doesn't work that way. But he's trying to show the merit that the Jewish people have because of himself and Elazar Reb Shimon, his son, and Yosam. So why Yosam? Of all the kings, he picks out Yosam. So Rashi says, Shebechol hamelachim shalafanav ulachrav, then in all the kings that come before Yosam and after Yosam, matzinu b'hem chet, we find a sin, chutz miyosam. Now, we're talking about righteous kings, by and large. There are a few not. Achaz is not going to be a righteous king. Neither will Manasseh. So there are some bad kings. But as you have seen, starting with David, Shlomo, Rechavam, Aviah, Asaph, Yehoshaphat, they're all generally good kings. There were some bad ones, but generally good kings. After Yehoshaphat, we end up with a bad king, two bad kings. And then we have Yoash, who's essentially a good king. Amatziah is essentially a good king. Uzziah is essentially a good king. These are all essentially good people. We're going to have, coming up, Chizkiyahu, who almost became Mashiach. So we've got some pretty good people. We're going to have Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is the king that the Navi says about him. No one did tshuva like he did. He got the whole country, the entire country, to become Bali tshuva in his day. You thought the Atlantis Kalos Kolo did a job. We're going to see like an unbelievable. He was a huge tzaddik, but they all have something they're criticized for. Yosam is not criticized for anything, nothing. Everything is what he does is good. And then Rashi goes through. David had the issue with Uriah Hachiti with Bathsheba. Again, we're talking about obviously a gigantic tzaddik, but there was there's some criticism. Shlomo has some criticism about him. Rechavam has some criticism about him. Aviah, Asaph, even Yehoshaphat, who we learned there was almost nothing. But remember, he joined together with the Melech Yisrael, and he was criticized for that he joined together with the Rasha. So there was some criticism even for him. Chizkiyahu, there's going to be even some criticism about him. Yoshio, they're all going to have some criticism. Yosam, there's no criticism.
But he allowed the
Balas
to stand.
So that's an ongoing issue. That's not something where... So you're right, but that's not something which you can pin on him specifically.
Yeah,
you're right.
Started.
Right.
Yeah.
So no one's saying that he was perfect. That no one's saying, because nobody's perfect. Right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu is not perfect. No one's saying he's perfect. But the Navi doesn't lay any criticism at his feet. There's nothing that Navi says Yosam did wrong. It doesn't say that. So that's why I say it's surprising to me that in Klal Yisrael, we don't find that. That's like a common name. You would think, like, here you have someone that is such a big tzaddik, and that the Gemara says that because of him, you can get rid of all of Eros from the world. Like, so we're talking about a very, very great person. Now, what did he do that stands out? So good. So he was a tzaddik, and he didn't do anything wrong. What did he do right? So... So the Gemara tells us as follows, that actually Rashi in Sukkah says this, that if you'll recall, I'm just trying to remember if that's where it is. There's two different Gemaras I'm thinking about. There's the Sukkah, and there's also in Sota. I think this one's in Sukkah, right? So the Gemara tells us over there that Rashi says over there, what did he do that was so great? So if you look back in Malachim, let's go back to where we started from tonight. going back all the way to Pasuk Hey, verse 5, which is before we started tonight, where Uzziyahu gets tzaras, and it says, V'yosam ben ha-melech al habayis shofetes am ha'aretz. Yosam, the son of the king, was in charge of the palace, and he judged the am ha'aretz. He judged the people of the land. So last week, one of you asked that, so isn't he already king? Why does it say that he ruled for 16 years? It seems like he ruled for more than that, because he ruled during the time of his father's reign. So Rashi says, Yosam was he excelled in kibud av, in kavod for his father, and he was extremely careful during the years that his father had tzaras, and he was effectively running the country, that he did not allow anyone to call him the king. He made sure to always consult with his father, and he made sure to always attribute the decision-making to his father. And he did not allow people to treat him as a king, even though he could have. His father couldn't get out of his quarantine. Right? His father is stuck. His father is essentially in jail. That's really the case. He can't get out. He's stuck over there. And Yosam could have gotten away with anything, but Yosam didn't. And he made sure to always attribute everything to his father. And that's why it says he was al habayis. He was in charge of the palace. It doesn't say he ran the country, even though he really did. And shofetes am ha'aretz, Rashi says he would always attribute the judgments to his father. Even when he judged cases, he would always attribute them to his father. So because he excelled in kibud av, therefore he became this great person. This is what he excelled in. And that's why it says that he was buried Be'ir David Aviv, the city of David, his father. Because not only was he a tzaddik like David, but he respected the previous generation. And as a result, he, more than anybody else, is connected to David, his father. He's called David Aviv. That was Yosam's special mitzvah that he was careful with. So then that still begs the question, or makes it even worse, why in his day is there already some trouble with Pekach ben Remaliahu from Yisrael and Ritzin the king of Aram without the language of the Navi, we would have said that it's not his fault. It's that these two were Rishayim, that the king of Yisrael is Pekach ben Remayo, he's a Rasha, and he joins forces with Ritzin Melech Aram, and they give trouble to Yehuda. We could have said that, but that's not the language of the Pasuk. In Malachim, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, in 37, it says, in those days Hashem began to send against Yehuda Ritzin the king of Aram and Pekach ben Remaliahu. So it is difficult to understand what was going on that would happen. So if the king was righteous, which he was, and successful, which he was, then this is out of the blue. In those days, Hashem sent these people against them. So what would you be forced to say is triggering the trouble with these two enemies?
Are the people not following him?
Okay, so there's got to be something with the people. Because if the king is so great, then the people are expected to rise to a higher place. Because the people here have a great king. And as you know, the king has incredible power, and the people are limited often by the king. We had already in Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, where sometimes the people wanted to do better, but they were saddled by the fact that they had a Rasha king. And when there is a tzaddik king, then we expect the people to improve commensurately. We're going to find in the days of Chizkiyahu that because of the righteousness of Chizkiyahu, the entire country becomes an incredible place of Torah because of Chizkiyahu. Now he leads it, Chizkiyahu leads that improvement, but nevertheless it's because of him. I already mentioned in the days of Yoshiyahu, the whole country does tshuva because of Yoshiyahu. But they all rise to the greatness of Yoshiyahu. In the days of Yosam, who seems to have been more righteous than all the kings before and afterwards, but the people don't rise commensurately with their king Yosam. I don't mean to say that they didn't rise at all, but whatever it is that Hashem was expecting of them, they did not do. And as a result, even though the country is prosperous and they have a great king, but unfortunately, they start to get harassed by these two foreign countries, by Aram and by Yisrael, the northern kingdom. It's not a terrible harassment yet, but it's going to become in the days of Ahaz, Yosam's son, who is a Rasha. This may also help explain how is it you have such a tzaddik who is succeeded by a Rasha, especially since it's not just Yosam who is a tzaddik, but he's already, we've got several kings in a row who are tzaddikim, and yet we then have, starting with Yoash, and then Amatzia, then Uzziyahu, and then Yosam, and then we have Ahaz who is a Rasha. It could be that because the people did not rise to the level of their great king, then there already was some cracks in the.
Is he held responsible for them not rising?
The Navi does not say that. The Navi does not say that. Apparently, it wasn't for lack of his trying to get them to, but the people didn't rise to that challenge.
Even because Rosh sends any enemy, it's always the message to
the. Yeah, well, certainly here. Yeah, certainly. The problem is we don't always know whether Hashem is sending something or whether it's people acting on their own free will, deciding to do something bad. It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. Here, the Navi tells us Hashem sent them. So it's inescapable. You have to. If he's sending them, it must be it's a reaction to something. Now, in the just to end before we end off tonight, in the northern kingdom, as we ran through the end of the dynasty of Yehu ben Nimshi, and then the very short reign of I'm going to forget the names here of Shalum ben Yavesh, and then Menachem ben Gadi. And then Pekach ben Remaliyahu, and then finally it's going to be Hoshea ben Elah. So it's going from bad to worse over there. The there is a curiosity, which we will get to again, not this week, but we're going to get to it coming up, which is that with all that is going wrong in the Northern Kingdom, the last king, Hoshea ben Elah, is actually a little better than those who came before him. And the Gemara asks the question, if he's a little bit better, how come that's the end? How come he's the last king? So we have to discuss that when we get to Hoshea ben Elah. But we are seeing a downward spiral in the northern kingdom that is really going very fast. I mean, it's really falling apart up there. Hoshea ben Elah is going to successfully stop the precipitous drop and actually pick up the country a little bit, but it'll be much too little, much too late, and the 10 tribes are going to be taken into Golis. One last point is this: we already mentioned last week and the week before that Yeshayahu is now on the scene. We have a whole sefer of Yeshaya. He prophesizes during Uzziyahu's reign, during Yosam's reign, during Ahaz's reign, during Chizkiyahu's reign. He's around for a long time. He spans a lot of kings. So the book of Yeshaya, if we were going to do it chronologically, now would be the time to insert a lot of what happens in Sefer Yeshaya. We're not going to do it that way because most of Sefer Yeshaya is not a story. Most of Sefer Yeshaya is different nevuahs about the future and about what happens when people do averus, what happens when people do mitzvahs, things like that. So a lot of the haftorahs come from Yeshaya. But there are some stories in Yeshaya, and they would be in this period of time that we're in now. Besides Yeshaya, several of the Treyasar, of the 12 prophets, are also during this time. Now, we've discussed in the Treyasar, we've discussed Ovadia, the Navi, we discussed him, because he was concurrent with Eliyahu. We discussed Yonah. He's really on the scene now, and a little before now, because he was a student of Eliyahu and of Elisha. So he's around. And as I mentioned, Ashur works in with Yonah. But there are other Nevi'im of the Treyasar which are around now. Hoshea, the first, not the same person over here as the king of Yisrael, but Hoshea, the first of the Treyasar, is around this time, and also there is Amos is at this time, and a couple other ones as well. So again, it's worthwhile, if you do it chronologically, to insert them at this time. But again, most of the trails are not stories. Most of the trails are just general nevuahs. That's why we're not going to do it that way either. But, mitzvah Hashem, we're going to finish Malachim, and then we're going to start doing other svarim. So I just want to make it clear that we're already in the point where we have to start inserting other nevi'im. And it's just, you know, that's the way, it's like everything else in Torah. You're always expected to know everything else when you're learning one thing. So, and you can only do something one at a time. So eventually you get it all done. But,
With the Nevi'im you just mentioned, only in Yehuda, or were they also in Israel?
No, they were both, depending on the Navi. Depending on the Navi. They, a lot of them have Nevuah about both.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.